All right, brethren. Psalm 104. As our Lord is declaring here how that he created all things, as the psalmist is praising him for creating all things, he said in verse 4, "Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever." And when we read that verse 4 there, that he maketh his angel spirits as ministers of flaming fire, we have to go to Hebrews 1. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 1. And the Lord quotes this. The Spirit of God gives the writer this very word. And it's for these first two chapters of Hebrews, he's declaring Christ is preeminent. He's better and exalted higher over even the angels. And he says to us here, I want to begin in verse 1. He's showing us that he's Jehovah who created all things, even the angels, that he rules all things, even the angels, that he's superior and raised above all things, even the angels. And this is his son. This is Christ. He says now, verse 1, "God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." You see that? "By whom also he made the worlds." Our psalm is speaking of Christ. "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being so much better than the angels, as he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels did God say at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him." Worship him. "And of the angels," he said, "who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." You see that? That's our psalm. The Lord said to the angel, he made the angels his spirits and made them a flame of fire. "But unto the Son, he said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Thou, Lord," he's still speaking to Christ the Son, "Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Jehovah, that created all things, even the angels, is the Son of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He made his angels ministers to do his bidding. The Father trusted all salvation into the hand of his Son. And our Lord Jesus created all things. He created the heavens and the earth, all things. God the Son did this. He laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of his hands. And that's what Psalm 104 is declaring. And as we go through Psalm 104, we'll see how all creation typifies Christ and his work of salvation. He's sovereign in creation, he's sovereign in providence, and he's sovereign in salvation. But all of this illustrates Christ. But now, what I want to focus on today is the Son made his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. The angels are his ministers. And why did he make them? Hebrews said, they're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation. God chose his son, chose his people and his son. And when he did, he made his son the heir, and he made all his elect joint heirs with him. So we're going to inherit everything Christ inherits. And so he sent these spirits, these angels, to minister to you and me who will be heirs of salvation. This is the firstborn's responsibility as the head of the household to save each and every one of God's elect children and bring us all safely to him. And this wilderness we're going through, the scripture describes it, paints a picture of it for us, just like he did with the children of Israel. It is a waste howling wilderness. It's full of robbers and men who lay by the way that want to try to rob us. We're described as sheep in the midst of wolves. Sheep counted for the slaughter. All these dangers and all these troubles that we face in this life. But he's provided angels, ministers, to minister to us to bring us safely into that inheritance. Men are not to worship angels. Some vainly do. Some religions do. Paul said in Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, worshiping of angels, intruding into things that he's not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding Christ the head, from whom the body, by joints and bands, have all the nourishment ministered, and are knit together and increased with the increase of God. He said, don't let somebody beguile you into trying to worship angels. That's not what we're to do. The worship of angels was a real problem in the early church, and it's a real problem today in some religions that worship angels. But that first two chapters of Hebrews, the whole thing is declaring Christ is preeminent above angels. The angels are serving him and serving his people. It's Christ we're to worship. It's Christ we're to worship. In fact, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. They all worship him. Isaiah, remember when he saw the Lord's glory, he saw the cherubims on each side of the mercy seat praising the Lord, crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. They worship Christ. The angels do. The things that These things that we hear in the gospel, this is what's amazing. Listen to this. These are things that angels desire to look into. And it's how God's going to reveal them to them is by what he works in you who are his church. Go to Ephesians 1:9 and look at this real quick. This is so good. Ephesians 1:9. You just think about the angels. They are really angels. He created them. But I want you to see this in Ephesians 1:9. I'm sorry, I can't remember where I. If you know where this is at, you turn to it. But I here it is, Ephesians 3:9. He says here he's come to make all men know what is the fellowship of the mystery, that is his people. Now watch this. Which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. The gospel is a hidden mystery, hidden in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, that is to his holy angels, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of his hand. The angels desire to look into the gospel and Christ's dealings with his church, and it's by beholding what Christ works in his church that the angels learn these things. And that's God's purpose. He's teaching the whole heavenly host these things of salvation and his glory and saving his people. Now, the angels weren't redeemed like we were. They weren't. They don't have, but they do have an interest in it. They desire to look into it, and they're beholding God's wisdom in it. And so by God's grace and by the Spirit of our Lord, the Spirit makes God's elect behold Christ
And we're too beholding the wisdom of God. So you have the angels looking at what the Lord's doing in his church, and you have his people being made to look to the Lord and what he's doing. God will have all eyes on his Son. He's the wisdom and power of God to salvation. So last time we saw the clouds, his chariot. This time we're going to see the angels, his ministers. We're not to worship angels. They worship in Christ. And he's given us the spirit and faith to worship Christ. And we're all looking to Christ. But those angels are ministering to us. They're ministering to us. First of all, God our Savior created all the angels just like he created man. And in some ways, we see a parallel or an illustration of Christ's salvation of his people in what he did with angels. God our Savior created all the angels. The Lord Jesus did. They really are angels. And he created these angels. But in heaven, a host of angels rebelled. They rebelled and they failed. And he cast them out of heaven. Lucifer, the devil, called Lucifer. He was a created angel, created of our Lord. Our Lord Jesus said he abode not in the truth. He abode not in the truth. He was there when it happened. And he abode not in the truth. Now, who did we hear this morning is the truth? Christ is the truth. And the devil abode not in the truth. Christ said that, and here's what we can kind of read between the lines. He heard God the Father declare. We don't have to read between the lines. This is what the Hebrew writer tells us. God said, let all the angels worship him. Now, it wasn't that the devil had a problem with worship him as God. It was, he's going to become a man. And the devil is going to have to worship the man, Christ Jesus, the God-man. And that was beneath him. That was beneath him. That stained his so-called dignity. And he rebelled. He would not abide in the truth. He was insulted and he refused to submit to God and trust Christ. And so he led a revolt against God. And in doing so, he led a third of the heavenly angels into rebellion. And God cast them out of the garden. Out of the heaven. Our Lord said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Christ said that. Now, we see a parallel in that between the devil's fall and Adam's fall. But it wasn't just a third of men that fell in Adam. All fell in Adam. All sinned and fell in Adam. Because the devil entered the garden, he beguiled Eve, and he used Eve to tempt trick her, and then when Adam saw Eve, he fell into sin. He sinned with his eyes wide open, plunged us all into sin. But God's trust, now get this, God's trust was not in his angels in the heaven. When he made these angels, his trust was not in his angels. And his trust wasn't in Adam either. And his trust not in you either. Job 4:18, behold, he put no trust in his servants. Those angels were his servants. He didn't put any trust in them. Adam was his servant. He didn't put any trust in him. And his angels he charged with folly. How much less them that dwelled in these houses of clay, whose foundations in the dust, which are crushed before a moth. He's not putting this thing of salvation in our hand. But remember, that fall of those angels and nor the fall of Adam, none of that took God by surprise. It was fulfilling God's purpose. How was it that the angels are going to worship him as the God-man? It's going to be because he's coming to this earth and take flesh to save his people. Why? Because the devil would fall, enter the garden, be the catalyst to create sin entering the world and death, by which Christ is going to manifest his glory in saving us from it. This was all the purpose of God. Nothing out of his control. He purposed it. He ruled over their rebellion so that Christ might come into the world and glorify him in the salvation of his people. Now that gives me comfort. That gives me comfort knowing everything God's been doing from the beginning. If the fall of the angels was according to his purpose and the fall of man was according to his purpose, I can rest in his purpose because I know he's bringing glory to his name in whatever he's doing in this life. Now, secondly, Not only in the creation of the angels do we see a parallel in God's salvation, but we see it in his election. Before the fall of the angels, before they ever fell, our Lord had chosen some angels. He had chosen some angels. Paul spoke and charged Timothy before God and the Lord Jesus and the elect angels. God had chosen some angels. He elected them. And so we see a parallel in that to God's saving grace toward his people. Though we all fell in Adam, and though we sinned in Adam, before that ever took place, God had chosen his people in Christ, who he would save. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings in him. Don't ever forget this now. The only one who made the difference between the angels that fell and the angels that didn't fall is the grace of God. And the only one who made the difference with you who know him now and love him and worship him and believe him is the grace of God. Don't ever forget who maketh thee to differ. You didn't do it. I didn't do it. God did it by his grace. By his grace. Now here's the third thing I want you to see. We got to remember this. There is a difference between God's elect angels and his elect children. And we saw a sort of a parallel between how he created them and how they fell. We see a parallel in that he has some elect angels, but there's a big difference in his fallen children and the angels. The elect angels needed no redemption. They didn't need any redemption. They didn't follow the devil, but we did. We did. We sinned. And we need redemption. Now go back over there to Hebrews chapter 2. This is what the Hebrew letter is declaring. I'm telling you now, they just like you and us by nature, they was worshiping the works of their hand. They was worshiping angels. They just all kind of superstition. And the whole first two chapters of this Hebrew letter is declaring Christ is the only one to worship. He's the only one. He created the angels. Now look here, Hebrews 2:14, speaking of Christ and why we needed redemption, he says, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of the death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. In all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. In the angels, you think about this now. You can hold your place right there in Hebrews 2 once you see this. You think of that, what the angels saw, the elect angels. This is the wisdom of God they saw. And you've got to think, they must have been amazed at this. To see this, because this was a hidden mystery. They didn't know what all was going to take place. But here's what they saw. They saw the devil rebel and that whole host of angels fall out of heaven. Then they saw the devil enter the garden. And they saw him beguile Eve, and they saw Adam fall and plunge the whole human race into sin. But this is what they saw. Verse back here in Hebrews 2:9, they saw the Lord Jesus descend past them when he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, that he should taste death for every elect child of God. They watched the Son of God. Here they are, wherever they are on that level they're at. They watched him go down below them and go down to this earth and become a man. Don't you know that was astounding to them to see him do this? And they saw the wisdom of God declaring his righteousness and justifying his people on that cross. They saw, this had to be astounding. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ go to the cross, and they saw God pour out his vengeance on him, and they saw him die and go into the tomb and be buried. But how they must have been amazed at this. They saw the Son of God, who had been made a little lower than the angels. They saw him descend as the Son of God. But then they saw, as the Father declares in Ephesians 1, they saw him ascend, not as the Son of God. They saw him ascend as the God-man. High above what? All power and all principality, above them, as a man, to the throne of God, to the majesty on high, having accomplished the redemption of his people. And they behold him now crowned with glory and honor, as Hebrews 1:4 says, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And that's why when Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, he saw the cherubims praising Christ and crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." He's crowned with glory and honor. So the angels now behold God's wisdom as Christ sends forth another kind of angel called, the word angel just means minister. And they behold the wisdom of God in this. He sends forth his pastors to be, as he refers to them, his angels, to minister the gospel. And they behold as the Spirit of God goes forth, like what Brother Greg just read in Acts 1, that he sends the Spirit of God and quickens his people and gives us life to believe on Christ. And they see him, all this wisdom of God they witness in how he's saving his people from our sins. And so the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repents more than 99 that need no repentance. They're beholding all this work of grace God's doing in his church for his people by Christ Jesus. And they rejoice in it. They rejoice in it. And those Christ has taken, and made his own. He's taken us and made us his own. And by doing this, by taking away all our sin, by taking away, putting it all away and making us the righteousness of God in him, he's taken away all the devil's accusing power. All of it. So he can't, that's what keeps you in bondage. That's what kept his children in bondage, was the devil's accusing power in your conscience, constantly keeping you in bondage. And he has no more power, because Christ has put away the sin of his people. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who's he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's making intercession for us at God's right hand. And so the angels saw all this. They saw every bit of this. So here's what I want you to get lastly. I want you to get this lastly. Angels are real. They're real. And they have a real purpose. And they see what, the elect angels see what God has done in Christ, and they rejoice in it. They see what he's doing in his church, and they rejoice in it. And because Christ promised the Father, he's going to bring all his people to him, and we're in this wilderness, and we're surrounded by wolves, we need protection. And Christ is protecting us, and he's using these angels to protect his people. This is why he created his elect angels to be ministers, to minister to us. Hebrews 1:14 said, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Sinners like to boast about their will and their wisdom and their strength and, you know, how far they've come, what they've accomplished, and how they're the, you know, in charge of their destiny. The Spirit of God tells God's children this. Now listen carefully. This is what the Spirit of God says. "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." In other words, we have a bunch of enemies that we can't see. Now, God's going to have to give us faith to believe this, but this is so. If it's in this word, it's true. And this is so. Men want to boast of their will and their wisdom and their power and their might. And then man's no match for the devil. And there is a ton of his wicked fallen angels that he has with him, a third of the angels. And that's who are our enemies. We don't have any wisdom and power to refute them, because we can't even see them. We can't even see them. But you remember Elisha's servant? Remember Elisha's servant? Go over to 2 Kings chapter 6. I wish we could get this next time we get too proud is to remember there's enemies you can't even see. It's not men you got to worry about. There's wicked spirits you can't even see. And watch this now. But there are a host of ministers that are ministering to his people. 2 Kings 6, verse 14. The king of Syria, this is a picture of the devil. He had sent horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and they compassed the city about. All this great host. That's what's being described to us about rulers and principalities and these rulers of the darkness of this world. Now, they can't do a thing but what God permits them to do. Christ is in the ruler of everything. But they're there. And just like this servant, verse 15, when a servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? You just imagine, you walk out of the tent, you look up, and on the mountain, all the way around you, all these horses and chariots got you surrounded. And he said, Master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not. They that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed, and he said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Why does this tell us? Why does that passage say that that host of angels in their chariots and in their horses of fire surrounding was so more in number than the enemy? Why does he say they were round about Elisha? Because Elisha is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these angels are ministering spirits sent forth by our Lord Jesus Christ to minister to his people. And they're doing whatever Christ tells them to do. That's what you have pictured here. And Elisha praying to God to open his eyes. And Elisha praying to God to blind their eyes. And the Lord doing it. Christ is, he's working everything. The Father giving him his petition. And he's using these angels to minister to his people. There's more that are with us than are against us. We can't see them either, but they're there. It take God open our eyes to make us see them, but they're there. And they're always obeying Christ in ministering to his people. They're always doing what Christ bids them to do for us, for our behalf. Look at Psalm 103 back there at verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. They're always obeying our Lord Jesus. They're doing exactly what he commands them to do. And what does our Lord command them to do? His pleasure is that his angels keep us all our days. That they surround us and protect us and keep us all our days. And even, he'll even use his angels to bring us home to glory. That's true. Listen to this. We saw last time the clouds are Christ's chariot, so are his angels. We read of Elijah, 2 Kings 2:11, there appeared a chariot of fire and a horse of fire, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. The angels come and took him up to heaven. And what's going to happen in the end? Matthew 24:31, our Lord said, he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. We're thankful for his angels. Now, you may see a lot of enemies, and you may think you've got a ton of enemies in men and that you can see. Well, you got a whole lot more that you can't see. and you are absolutely thoroughly without any strength as dust to defeat those that you can't see. We can't defeat the devil. We need Christ. And thankfully we have him, and we have a whole host of angels that he's using to minister to us to protect us. So brethren, as God's elect, you have this assurance. This is the greatest assurance you can possibly have that God will keep you. The greatest assurance. I don't want to beat you down. I don't want to crush you. I don't want to use your sin as leverage against you. I want you to be comforted and strengthened in your heart by what our triumphant Redeemer has accomplished and is accomplishing in this world. And this is how he's going to strengthen you. This is the greatest confidence we have, the greatest assurance we have that he will keep his people to the end. This is it. Number one, our Lord Jesus Christ, when God the Father chose us. That's the first thing. But he chose us in Christ and trusted us to Christ. And when Christ entered covenant to save us, Christ promised the Father. He promised the Father. God, who cannot lie, promised his Father, I will not lose one. I will bring them to the Father. And he shall. And our Lord Jesus came forth and he laid down his life. He poured out his blood. He gave his life to redeem us from the curse of the law, to save us from ourselves, to bring us to him. And his blood's precious. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. He will not fail. He will not fail. And we're weak as dust. You and I are dust. You read the psalm before it. He remembers our frame. He remembers we're just dust. That's all we are. We got to cease ye from man. Hannah prayed, cease from speaking so exceedingly proudly. We just dust, brethren. Next time you're at home and you're cleaning off that stuff off your furniture, just stop a minute and get a good look and realize, there I am, right there. Just that weak dust. But here's our confidence. If he's going to get all the glory, he's getting it all. He's getting it all. And here it is. Our Redeemer has a heavenly host of angels ministering to us, doing his bidding 24 hours a day, 365 days out of the year, even when you're asleep and don't know you're even in the world. Even when you're asleep and don't know, aren't conscious of anything, they're protecting his people. They're guiding his people. They're looking over his people. The promise of our Father to our Redeemer in Psalm 91, it's the same promise he gives to us. Go to Psalm 91 and look at this. This was, first of all, the promise of the Father to the Redeemer, and now it's the promise of Christ to you and I, right here. Psalm 91 and verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Well, I know people who've died of the coronavirus, brethren who died of the coronavirus. Does that mean that's not true? It means nothing shall ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Your body's going to die, whether it's by a plague or whatever. That's not the important thing. Nothing is going to harm his people. Nothing. Not the new man, not the real you, not you in Christ. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. That was God's promise to his Son. He fulfilled it faithfully in his Son, and that's his Son's promise to you now to trust him. His ministers are keeping his people in it. You're never going to be separated from him. Go to Psalm 34, 7. Psalm 34, 7. Here's how we know this is so. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. That's his promise. And that's what he's doing. So the next time you see a host of enemies in this world,
If whatever's taking place in this world and you see the enemies you see, just remember this. There's a lot more than that. Now, that's not to scare you. That's just to make you to know. If he's ruling all those you don't see, and he is, he's ruling those you do see. He is. And he's got a host of angels doing his bidding, and they're ministering to you. Because you know why? Because God the Father made you heirs of salvation, and you're going to have your inheritance. And that's Christ's promise. Believe him. Look to him and trust him. That's not to give us some vain curiosity in angels and let us make us start worshiping angels. That's to make us do what the angels do when they behold God working all this. Worship Christ. Praise Christ. Glory in Christ. Amen.